From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 25th day of October 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will join us too from Windsor, Illinois. He's with Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds and will help us discuss what's happening on the farm as it's related to cash grain. Along the way, we'll hear what happened yesterday afternoon right here in Champaign County as the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, visited with farmers as a listening session. He was asked several times about the mitigation payments and the trade issues that the United States has been having with China and the impact on producers across the whole of the nation. We'll do that, and we'll also hear about the weather forecast with Mike Tenori. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Still wet down there?
We've dried out a little bit, but we're still wet. We got rain. We had rain yesterday, but today is a dry day, and I think the forecast is not too bad for the next several days. So we are kind of trying to dry out a little bit anyway.
I'm going to ask you a production question that I don't know if you'll know an answer to, because with all of the rainfall, which hasn't happened in your part of the world for a very long time, I know they put wheat in the ground. Will they graze that off and change to something else next season, for instance, cotton?
I don't know whether or not they'll do that or not. I suppose that will depend upon what the cotton price is maybe next spring. But right where I'm at, most of it's cotton and corn. We do have a little wheat, maybe a little oats and that kind of stuff. But for the most part, it's pretty much a cotton area and a corn area between here and Dallas.
What led the fall off in Chicago today in the grains and the oil seeds?
Well, I think what kicked it off was probably looking at those weekly export sales that came out at 7:30. Both of them were very disappointing. We knew we were going to get a disappointing bean number because China's absent, but the corn number was very disappointing to everybody, and that's what kind of led to the 7-cent decline. And it's been that way pretty much all fall. We just haven't had any kind of big pickup of export sales. This is usually the time of year when you see some fairly hefty numbers, and that's what helps corn and soybeans pull out of their harvest lows, is that foreign buyers as well as domestic buyers begin to come into the marketplace and build an inventory of cash grain, and that's part of what pulls the market out of a seasonal low, as well as winding down the harvest pressure. But since we don't have that demand this year, it's making it real difficult for corn and soybeans to pull out of a seasonal low, and more so probably on soybeans and probably corn, because corn has a good domestic daily consumption underneath it with, you know, livestock feed as well as the ethanol use. That's a good daily disappearance number. So you have corn is probably a little better on demand, where soybeans is kind of hit and miss. You got to have that export market to kind of give it the big boost to the upside. And we just don't have anything going, at least yet, with China. There's rumors that something might begin to take hold, but there's just really nothing that the trade kind of feels of any kind of certainty with at all on that, Todd.
Anything that concerns you at this point on the charts?
Well, with today's decline, we've come down to some important numbers that probably need to hold. Corn. We're kind of like about a 50% retracement of the advance that we had out of the September lows up to the high that we had here a couple weeks ago. We're right at 50%. Normally, corn, a 50% retracement, whether or not it's on the upside or on the downside, is usually a fairly good hard spot. So since we're coming down, this should be a place in here where we ought to find some pretty good demand. And looking at some of my short-term cyclical work, it kind of says that I kind of should begin to take hold at least by early next week. And then, of course, once you get into the last few days of the month, and I think that's kind of what we maybe saw here today more so, is when you get toward the last end of the tail end of the month, you usually go opposite of what the dominant direction of the month was, as you get liquidation. And in this case, you get long liquidation going into the end of the month. So so corn's at a point that it really would be nice to hold this level. If it could hold this level and consolidate, and then we can get through the end of the month and start looking at a new month, then we might be able to kick this thing back up again for a rally, or a period of strength anyway, maybe during the first couple of weeks so, or November, before we go into contract expiration on December corn. Now, November soybeans, we also hit an important retracement, is a 62%. Beans have a tendency to follow a 38% retracement and or a 62% retracement. So beans are at a point here where they really need to hold too. If we can kind of hold here and consolidate and rebuild and, like I said, get through the end of the month, the thing that we have going on in beans right now is we're at the contract expiration of November soybeans. And when you do that, you kind of get into that period where, especially in a sideways type market, and that's probably what we are more so than anything, is that the November contract is sliding back to where the January contract had been trading at. So you end up losing that carry in the market as those contracts get near expiration. And I think that's what's kind of triggering maybe some more weakness in soybeans that maybe otherwise we wouldn't really have, is that we're going into a contract or at least the delivery part of November soybeans. Not we still 3-4 weeks away from the expiration. But and then when you get toward the end of the week, end of the month, especially this time of year, farmers a lot of times have to make a decision on the grain that they've delivered to their elevator, whether or not they want to put it in storage or sell it. So you always kind of look for a weakness on Thursday, Friday during harvest. And then again, more so than anything, is probably toward the end of the month, they'll have to make a lot of decisions of whether or not they want to store it or if they want to pay additional storages. So it's harvest. We're kind of winding down, but that is when you kind of get more selling activity when you get toward the end of harvest, especially as big as this crop really is. It was easy for the farmers to kind of store the first half of it pretty easy and kind of tuck it away from the end user. But as we get toward the end of the harvest, the farmer runs out of home storage and ways to deal with it. So he is a little easier seller of corn and soybeans as we get toward the end of harvest.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
Very well, Todd.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us on this Thursday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Have you purchased your tickets yet for the Farm Assets Conference? Hope so. If not, a couple of things to keep in mind. A bit earlier in the day, I saw a press release, though we're not using it on the air at this point, from the ABCDs, ADM, Bunge, And Cargill, I don't think Dreyfus was included, but mentioned that each of them is looking towards using blockchain to track the characteristics of trades and sales and all sorts of things. So in my world, we call that metadata. That's where you're working with photos and video. And those photos and video include not only the images, but some text information, things like the GPS coordinates, where they were shot, who might be in the photos. In this case, for instance, last night, it could have been Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue and Rodney Davis at the listening session in Champaign County, Illinois, on October the 24th, 2018. All of that information could be put right in that metadata. Same sort of thing can happen with your grain sales through blockchain. This is something we're going to take up in a different sort of aspect during the Farm Assets Conference, because it really is about the change, I think, in the next 5 to 10 years, the way commodities are marketed. Anheuser-Busch and McDonald's will be there. They're end users that are in using a large portion of a particular segment. For instance, McDonald's uses 10% of the beef supply. They might want to know more characteristics about what that beef looks like, maybe even where the grains come from. In fact, I know that's the case. So this is going to change things for you over the next 10 years, and you need to be on the front end of this so you understand what's happening, because they're going to go maybe around the ABCDs and tap you directly on the shoulder. I think that's what blockchain's all about, in part for those ABCDs. But please, think about this. Come join us at the Farm Assets Conference. That's the 20th day of November. It's in Normal, Illinois. The cost is just $40 at the Marriott Hotel. You can buy your tickets online. That includes the lunch, too. We kick off at 10:30 a.m. in the morning, actually open the doors at 9:30. And the Corn Growers annual meeting, you know, Illinois Corn Growers, is at 8 o'clock that morning. So lots of things happening there at the Marriott during that day. $40 is cheap for a great event, and you definitely need to be there. Buy those tickets right now, willag.org, farmassetsconference.com. In today's agricultural news, Secretary Sonny Perdue has expressed his optimism that rules on year-round E15 ethanol and fuel blends will be ready by the start of the 2019 driving season. Rod Bain has more from USDA.
We believe that the E15 rule will be in place prior to next year's driving season.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue discussing year-round available E15 ethanol blends at the fuel pumps with reporters in Illinois this week, and when that may become available to motorists. The secretary says the new rule should be in place before existing law, which bans E15 in the summer months, takes effect.
I fully expect that to be done. I know Acting Administrator Wheeler's doing everything he can to do that, as well as the transparency in the RIN market that we think will help.
Referring to renewable identification numbers used to show refineries are in compliance with the renewable fuel standard. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Well, let's stay with China-related issues. The world's largest pork producer is suffering from African swine fever, an outbreak that's been rippling across that nation and parts of Europe, though it's not expected to have much of an impact on U.S. exports to China. That's in part because the disease has only affected a fraction of China's pork industry. The nation raises some 433 million pigs annually. That's about half of the world's pork population. Now, if China had to start importing pork, it would probably turn to Canada first, or maybe the EU, rather than to pay the 62% retaliatory tariffs on U.S. pork imposed as part of the ongoing trade war. But if the highly contagious disease were to reach epidemic proportions there, China would effectively be forced to buy from the U.S., even with the high tax on imports, thinks Dermot Hayes. He's a co-director of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at Iowa State University. And finally, this note, President Donald Trump will attend the National FFA Convention this weekend in Indianapolis, where he'll speak during the 9th General Session at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. The National FFA organization traditionally invites the sitting president to make remarks during its annual national convention and expo. The first president to address FFA was former President Harry S. Truman, that in 1957. Presidents Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter spoke in 74 and 78, respectively. Vice President George H.W. Bush spoke in 1987, followed by a pre-recorded message from President Ronald Reagan in 88. And then President H.W. Bush spoke in 1991. First Lady Michelle Obama also brought pre-recorded greetings in 2015, and Vice President Mike Pence did the same at last year's convention. The event is private and closed for registered attendees only. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. For Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. During a Champaign County, Illinois listening session last night, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue confirmed the second round of market facilitation payments for farmers will be coming in December.
I tried to assure people today that it is coming. We have always talked about the fact that we're going to look at the trade situation. Now, if this week we're able to get all the trade restored and markets go up, then as we indicated today, and under a pretty universal applause, these farmers here would much rather have good trade restored and the ability to sell their products rather than a government check.
Secretary Perdue says his agency unsuccessfully looked for ways to vary the payments from region to region based on the impact of Chinese imposed tariffs. There had been some speculation, for instance, that farmers in the Dakotas might end up with bigger payments because soybean exports out the PNW to China have simply stopped.
You know, that's been a concern and a question over different basis levels. We tried to look at that early on. We asked a lot of questions about that early on, and we just could not find a good objective way to do that. Basis levels as well as logistics costs are different in every part of the country. Unless we can find a better way to do that, we'll probably continue the way we've been doing.
As for next year, Sonny Perdue says farmers should not expect to receive more payments to compensate them for losses due to the Trump administration's trade policy goals.
This was put upon farmers after they'd made planting decisions in 2018. So the market will equilibrate over a period of time, and farmers will look at the markets and make their marketing and planting decisions the way they always do. So there's not an expected or anticipated market facilitation program for 2019.
Perdue told the gathered farmers in Champaign County, Illinois, more than once that they should look to diversify their operations in order to avoid the market disruptions caused by the rebalancing of trade. Well, let's turn our attention now to what's been happening in the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here. He's with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Todd.
So as we were wrapping up our conversation with Dan Zwicker this afternoon, we were talking about some of the decisions, and I've seen this discussion on Twitter as well, that producers are going to have to make about both corn and soybeans that have been put into storage in commercial elevators. They might have a couple of weeks, but certainly by the end of the month, they'll have to make some decisions, I would think. What should they do as it relates to storing either of those crops, do you suppose?
Well, you know, there's been some basis movement here, especially locally. You know, when you look at corn, it begs the question, you know, what are we going to see from here on out? But, you know, Decatur went from 20 under to option price here the other day, trying to buy some of those late season bushels. And I've got to think maybe they didn't get quite as much bought as what they may want to. So I do think corn, maybe more so than beans, I would be pretty interested in maybe going ahead and pay for a little bit of storage, but there are some strategies you can employ to kind of help pay for that storage, essentially tempting the market to go higher. I'd much rather have them on the farm than in commercial storage, but I don't see anything wrong with storing some of them.
Is there any particular strategy you want to share at this point?
Well, you know, a lot of folks will actually, you know, sell a call, you know, sell a March call. Maybe 20, 25 cents above the market. And, you know, a lot of guys that we've dealt with have done that. You know, yes, it's a marginal position. The person could experience a margin call, but that's only if the price of their corn's gone up quite a bit, which is exactly what you want to see. So it's actually a true hedge.
Of course, we're talking to Matt Bennett. He's with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Just a reminder that the Farm Assets Conference is coming up. That's the 20th day of November in Normal, Illinois. The cost is just $40, and you can buy your tickets online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Matt, let's continue the conversation just a bit. I've seen some other things and was thinking quite a little bit about the stair step of expiration of months and what that means. This all plays into kind of the carry as well and what producers should do or think about going forward. Do the corn or soybean markets, either one of them, give you a clear anticipation of where we're headed in the future?
Well, you know, Dr. Good always used to say that the futures market was a good indication of what the value of corn is going to be at that time, or beans. And, you know, I've got to believe that the market has essentially told us, you know, we're just not all that interested in bushels right now. We're going to pay you a little bit to hold on to it. You know, I don't see any large-scale rallies on farther out, especially with regards to the bean market. But, you know, with the corn market after that October report, and, you know, some folks think that that yield is going to tighten up a little bit and we could have room to grow on exports possibly. You know, some folks are talking a 1.7 carry out on corn. So if that happens, I've got to think that we're going to see some real opportunities, maybe for a little bit of a rally, but certainly some cash improvement.
On the flip side, we had cancellations again from in the soybean market for the day, and that doesn't fare well, I would think.
No, I mean, exports were horrible. Again, today, you know, when we're looking at corn and beans, neither one of them had great export sales, which is kind of frustrating to see. We've got to hope that that improves on farther out, but we're not the cheapest corn in the world right now either.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Mike Tenura is now here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure being here, Todd.
Now, let's start here in the Midwest. Can you tell me what weather conditions will be like for harvest of corn and soybeans over the next 7 days?
Well, we're going to see a few showers today and tonight, and then we'll see another batch of rain move through Saturday and Sunday. But the batch of rain Sunday, while heavy for a couple of locations, will generally be fairly light and sporadic. Only a swath or two of significant rainfall will occur. So for the most part, we're not looking for too many problems related to harvest over the next several days. And then we dry out for a couple more days early next week.
And then after that, do things change?
Well, things do change Tuesday and Wednesday. The problem is that we'll see our first in a series of systems move through. Those will have more humidity to work with than the ones that move through over the next couple of days. And because of that, we will see some heavier rainfall. We should see some thunderstorms as well. And because of that, we're looking for half of an inch to an inch of rain between Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, primarily from Illinois and points to the east. And then we should see another similar system move through just a couple of days after that. That second one, though, will affect a wider area. So as we move through next week, conditions for harvesting will deteriorate, but we're not going to see a whole lot of rain until we get to that point.
Any worries developing in South America at this point?
Not at this time. It's been pretty wet in Brazil, and it looks to stay wet. The same story exists in Paraguay. And if you look at Argentina, although Argentina has a few dry pockets in their wheat belt, it's going to start raining here over the next 5-6 days, and then we look for some stronger systems to move through over the course of late next week and then into the following week. So there's really not a whole lot to talk about in Argentina, Brazil, or Paraguay. The way it looks now is that we're looking at a fairly ideal start to their growing season with a lot of rainfall that's needed in Brazil to improve that soil moisture for planting. And then we're also starting to see some regular rains develop in Argentina, and that was a problem throughout the entire growing season last year where we never saw these types of rain, but here we are in October and we're starting to see them again.
How concerned are you about conditions on the ground in Europe as it's related to the winter crops from Western Europe all the way through Russia?
Well, there's a major drought in place across the EU. It's fairly impressive when you look at some of the data that we collect in-house, but over the last 90 days, About 70% of the rapeseed and winter wheat crop in the European Union is being afflicted by drought. The same story exists in Russia and Ukraine, and that whole region there is pretty much the wheat belt for the entire world, so all of them are experiencing drought. Now, at least as of the last few days, things have changed a little bit. We saw some rain yesterday and today in those key areas of Russia, and the forecast is a little bit wetter in the EU going forward, especially in Poland and the central areas. But the key states, or key countries, I should say, in the EU are France, Germany, and then into Poland and the UK. And for France and Germany, while there will be some rain here and there, we're not going to see a drought buster, and we're going to more than likely start the winter here in a pretty significant drought.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
You're welcome.
That's Mike Tenner. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Do look us up, listen to us on demand, online at willag.org.